Hey, this is Alex, writer and director of All Jacked Up and Full of Worms. I'm on Mostly Harmless this week.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Mostly Harmless. I'm your host, Damn It Damien. Buddies, welcome back. This week we have an action-packed thrill ride of an episode because this week we are hanging out and we are talking to Alexander Phillips, the director of All Jacked Up and Full of Worms, a super rad drug trip of a nightmare movie. Man, it is very, very hard to describe this weird, awesome cult film. I sat down and I watched it completely blind. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I smoked a little bit of weed, you know, and had myself a really, really fucking wild time sitting here in my one-bedroom apartment, girlfriend asleep on the couch, me just watching this supremely bizarre film, but I loved every second of it. So when the opportunity came to interview Alex, I jumped at it. I'm a real big fan of this movie. I can't recommend it highly enough if you like weird drug dream trip movies. I can't explain it any better than the official website can, wormsmovie.com. This comes directly from that. And here, let's see if I can get through it without stuttering too bad. Roscoe, a janitor for a scuzzy love motel whose girlfriend has brought another man home for strange rituals. He drifts through life until he discovers a hidden stash of powerful hallucinogenic worms. Guided by visions of a giant floating worm, he encounters Benny, a moped enthusiast trying to manifest a baby from an inanimate sex doll. They fall in love with doing worms together on a downward spiral into the primordial ooze. Man, hell of a tagline from the official website. I also want to read to you this wonderful quote from C. Robert Cargill. He's the screenwriter behind Sinister and The Black Phone. All Jacked Up and Full of Worms is supremely fucked up, gross out, midnight movie nonsense of the highest degree. Feels like it was written on coke, edited on mushrooms, incomprehensible madness for all cult-loving mutants out there. Man, you can't get any better than that. There's nothing I can say that is any better than those words right there. Highly recommend this weird, weird, weird midnight movie of a film. It hits the internet. It's going to hit Screambox, which is a horror movie streaming service that's relatively new. It's like Shudder, but it's run by Bloody Disgusting, the horror movie website. They're doing some real cool stuff over there. They're just getting started. If you're a horror movie fan and have slept on Screambox, do no further. Sign up. They have all the free subscription services available out there. You can sign up for like seven days free trial. It is very much worth it to at least check out. They've got some real cool stuff coming up and down the pipeline. All right, friends. All Jacked Up and Full of Worms is going to hit Screambox on November 8th. Hopefully the DVD will come out in the near future. This is a film that I will definitely purchase and add to my collection of strange oddities. And I can't wait for you guys to hear this chat. And please, go check out this movie when it hits the screens. Going in blind is the best way possible. I don't think we spoil too much. Let's listen to that chat with Alex right now. I'm your last interview of the day. Well, that's pretty awesome. How did they go today so far?
They're going all right. It seems like everybody is being pretty nice to me. So I like that.
Well, tell you what, it's 9:40 in the morning for me. I'm usually somebody that rolls out of the bed at the crack of noon. So I'm still in my pajamas here.
Good
so
judgment.
I just tell you that because that's how low key I feel like it's going to be. I'm on my third cup of very large coffee, so I might be a little rambly and incoherent at times, but I promise you it's just the coffee and you know, ADD and all that shit.
Honestly, same for me. Yeah, I'm lucky because I've had a couple of interviews to get some rambling out, so maybe I'll be on point.
No, that's okay. I actually like rambling. It gives it a little bit more of that, like, I don't know. My idea is that it's just you and me. We're connecting. We're on kind of a coffee date, only virtually instead of in person. And I don't know, like just getting to know each other.
Sure.
Are you tired of talking about yourself yet?
Actually, well, so making this film is the first time anyone's really given a shit for me to talk about myself. So it's a new thing completely. So I'm not necessarily tired of it. I give me an opportunity and I will go off.
Nice. I love that. I've never been on the other side of the mic. Well, here and there on the other side of the microphone, but I get real into my head a whole lot and I start like overthinking things and I'm like, oh man, and then it causes a whole different kind of anxiety. So I can only imagine, like, if I was doing tons and tons of press, I'd probably be going a little crazy myself, just overanalyzing every damn thing I say. Is it like that for you yet?
No, I'm trying to just sort of like turn off my frontal lobe and move forward into the world. Nice. warts and all, you know?
Yeah. I hope I can learn that skill.
I think just you need a more head trauma is what I tell people. Just sort of like, you know, just walk into a too low of a ceiling or something.
Oh, well, I mean, I can do that. I can make that happen. So, you know, I think we're already going. We're already having a good chat here. So let's just keep this rolling. We're here to talk about All Jacked Up and Full of Worms. Hell of a title. Immediately grabbed my attention. Immediately was like, what the fuck is this? I've got to find out. I've got to tune in. I kind of walked into it blind. I think I might have watched the trailer, but I don't think the trailer gives away anything. I just want to go over the notes that I wrote right after I finished watching it. Here is, I guess, my quote-unquote review. I couldn't stop watching. No idea what's going on. Just couldn't believe what was happening in front of my eyes. And the best part is it all worked somehow. I really liked it. A lot of things have to go right in order for something like this to work so well. How the hell did this get made? And so I think that's going to be kind of the theme of our chat today. Again, I think it's best to kind of walk into this blind, but how do you describe this movie to say, like, I don't know, your mom's friends? Like, are you warning your mom's friends, do not go support this movie in theaters, or are you letting them just experience it on their own?
No, it's funny that you mentioned that because my girlfriend's mom watched it for the first time like 2 days ago, and I was like totally terrified. I was scared, more scared for that than basically anything, that any other screening that we've had, maybe the world premiere. Because like only four people had seen the movie before Fantasia. That was freaky. I've been trying to preface it with just like, this is weird. This is fucked up. It's not for everybody. But if you let it, there's like a heart underneath it that gets smuggled in underneath the gross out stuff. You know, I always say like, open your heart and let the worms in through all of your orifices, and then it'll wiggle in there.
How do you sell this movie to the normal movie viewing audience?
It's a movie that's like an expressionist take on psychosis that it's like gonna tries to make you feel before it tells you what to think.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I really appreciate that. Is there a good way to describe the movie? Like, oh, it's about a bunch of people doing worms.
Oh, yeah. Like a log line of the thing. Yeah. It's about these two guys that get hooked on these hallucinogenic worms, and they go on a journey of sex and violence and then land in the primordial ooze.
One thing when I was watching it, I couldn't figure out, is it a dream movie or a drug movie, or is it a little bit of both, or is it something else completely?
It's all three of those things. The drugs are more a grounding device. You know, the drugs are worms, you know, so it's not like I'm talking about, you know, heroin or something. Like Trainspotting maybe is about heroin. We're thinking about heroin. This is like worms. What the hell is that? That's not a drug that I've done. So where are we going with this? I think that makes it so the drug is a metaphor itself. You know, it's like a visual metaphor just for the stuff that we take into our heads to explain life to us, for better or worse. You know, our own hallucinogenic opiate. But also kind of works like almost like a crack or a meth or something. It's got a lot going on, this worm drug.
Over breakfast this morning, I got to see your penis in one of those short films. Hell of a way to enjoy your my Frosted Flakes this morning. I was like, oh, lots of penis in the Who's a Good Boy.
That's definitely, I would always talk about that movie. Like, I think it was like $1,000 to make that movie.
Yeah.
And I always say that you know, our bodies are the cheapest special effect. A penis is cheaper than blood and guts, which, yeah, you know, we found them for this one.
Well, what I like is your films, you know, if I was to have $1,000 to make a movie, I probably would not put a ton of penises in it or go the route that you went. I'm the kind of person, like, I want to make stuff that everybody's going to universally like, but your stuff scene is very daring in that it almost seems like you're daring people to not like it. I think maybe I'm not entirely sure. It just seems like there's a lot of punk rock energy. There's a lot of fuck you energy, I feel like, coming through. At least that's what I interpreted it. And I know it's up for interpretation, but how do you find the courage to make films like this? And even more to the point, how do you find courage to make a film? That takes a lot of fucking courage, a lot of balls.
Well, I have a lot of help. In Chicago, the people that I'm working with are all filmmakers in their own right. We have a close-knit enough community that we can help each other go on these, you know, punk rock flights of fancy. For making this feature, I was like, you know, being a dolly grip for somebody or doing sound for somebody else. How did this get made? How is this happening? Is like, because the community was willing to go on the punk rock journey. Also, the, like, to your point that it's like daring people to not like it, it's with the fuck you energy. I think that the only way that kind of stuff works is if it's like a voice that feels real. Otherwise, it's like, you know, a try hard fuck you. You know, this movie means what it's saying. And that's something that I feel pretty strongly about. Like, it's not the Hot Topic version of the punk rock. I mean, you can get maybe some good band shirts there, and not to shit on your Hot Topic stuff, if anybody's got it. Where do I get the courage to be so strong? I think, it's just definitely community of collaborators. I also, that we didn't really have any money to make this movie. There was no like backing. Nobody was like asking to see the dailies or anything like that. It was just like me and Ben and Georgia and, you know, some other people like pooling our money, getting free gear, just going out and doing this thing in the pandemic. That was it. It felt, definitely making the film felt really vital too. Like, it just was like, it kind of had to be made. And I think that's also where the courage comes from, because it's like not even a choice really. So there's no like, should we be doing this? It's not like a question that ever gets asked.
Community is something that I think about a lot now. And I look back and I've had some great friends, but I've had friends that are a little bit more, they swing a little bit more negative. No, that's a dumb idea. Don't do that. No, you shouldn't do that. And I was foolish enough to listen to them. Man, what if I had found a like-minded community of people who, instead of, you know, being so negative towards my ideas and projects, had been instead a little bit more positive. So how do you find those, your community? How did you find these people who enabled you to make this film?
It was all through like making, all of us making our own smaller things. Like you mentioned, Who's a Good Boy? Like that was, that one was like a tough ask, you know, like everyone, let's get naked and run around like dogs. A lot of the work of getting to the point to do this was just about like going on smaller adventures, you know, to carve out the space to get to this point. But, you know, that's not to say that there isn't, you know, like even to make this movie, to make All Jacked Up and Full of Worms, introducing like the baby doll or something like this, obviously like comes with a lot of conversations, you know, to make sure that this is going to land. That was more of the concerns. It was like, we don't want to like hurt anybody with this baby doll. So that's where we're going with everything. But I think we all pretty much agreed that like, this definitely isn't a baby doll propaganda. You know, it's like, you're not going to come away with this and be like, oh, I should get one of those, you know?
And also the people listening to this, like, have no idea there's a baby doll in this movie. Like, we haven't, like, I purposely have not been talking too much about the movie itself, because I want you to watch this and go, I want people to watch it like I did. Like, I can't believe what the fuck is happening. And then, there's a baby doll in there that's even more like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. I think it's really fun to talk about it so serious, the movie so seriously, and be like, yeah, like, you know, it's passionate labor of love. If this is poetry out of our hearts and minds. But it's also like, you know, it is definitely like a crazy, gross out psychedelic journey. It's like, you know, horny and silly and freaky.
And it's really cool. I don't think it's something that necessarily would have maybe worked as well, maybe even 10 years ago. But it works now. Like, who are your guys? What are you looking at and going like, oh, if these guys could get away with this, I can get away going this way or being a little more extreme. What were some of the things you were looking at when you were making this as examples of, to show you that you could indeed make this movie?
Who are my guys? I have a lot. Like it's all like sort of like they're all old school. I think about like American independent filmmakers a lot. Like I think about that movie Poison. That was like one of my first looks at like just like a movie done totally on its own terms. Or like I think a lot about like Driller Killer, Abel Ferrara's like early stuff. Frank Henenlotter I reference all the time. When I saw Brain Damage, like I felt sort of like seen or something. But then there's also like Sweetie, which is not an American independent, but it's like, and it's also like maybe I think I only like premiered at Cannes. Like there's like some like the high end, like it's, I think I'm like I'm either in really low or really high brow in the my references, you know. I think like a guy like Cronenberg is sort of like that, you know, where it's like you get the body horror, but then he's also like philosophical or something. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of very specific, but also like all over the place,
which is totally cool. It's just one of those curiosities. I also haven't seen a lot of those films that you just referenced, so thank you. I'm gonna go check all those things. Cronenberg.
Yeah, I want to make a list of these. Oh yeah, Cronenberg all the time.
Your film is definitely oozing with. It's good to know that is a little intentional. I have this little other note. It was like, reminds me of a trauma film in the best of ways. So I'm sure that plays into there as well.
I like trauma films. Like all the stuff is crazy, but it feels like the relationships are human. You know, like these characters are like, are vulnerable with each other, and I think that's nice because and the idea is so dumb, but it's taken seriously.
And that's why it works. You know, I do believe though that you have to tune in. Like you can't just a normal person off the street can't just sit down and watch. All jacked up and full of worms. You kind of have to be prepared for. Is there a way for people to prepare themselves for All Jacked Up and Full of Worms other than watching the films that we have already seen? How do you get into that mind space?
So when I introduce the film, like I'm at a festival or a screening, I'm like, I always tell people to like listen to this first monologue that actress Betsy Brown kind of gives. Roscoe, one of the main characters, she's like saying like, you know, like basically like open up not just your mind, but your body and forget your preconceived notions. Just like let your organs sing is how she lands there. And I kind of that's my way of introducing it, where it's like feel this movie, let it wiggle in and take you on its journey. As opposed to like coming to it and trying to like steer it or try not to look for like a direct direction for how to go on this wiggly journey.
So that monologue purposely put there to help guide the viewers?
Yeah, it's supposed to like induce the dream of the film. And it's like, but it's also like complicated because it's like everything in the film, it like means two things at the same time where it's like, this is hippie shit. Like we shouldn't be, you know, why am I doing this yoga exercise while you're like flirting with the roommate over there? Like, it's like at once, something we want to resist, but then it's also part of the conceit of the movie.
Recently, you know, I've always wanted to be a quote unquote writer. I've done some music journalism and stuff like that throughout my life, but only during the pandemic, I read like Stephen King's On Writing, and I started to actually take this hobby a little more serious. So I always like learning about the building blocks. I used to think you just made shit up and then you made it up. If you were good enough at making things up, you had a novel. I didn't really understand how, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to put this in here to signify this and this and this. And those are the things I'm learning. And those things really fascinate me that it's like, oh, this is intentionally put there to help guide these viewers on a journey. It's not just there to open it up. How did you learn how to write a movie? Did you just learn how to do it by doing it, or did you go to school? What's your background?
I don't know where I got this idea, but I wanted to be a playwright for a really long time. And so that was my like, initial into writing scenes and characters and stuff. So I wanted to be a playwright, and I wrote plays when I lived in St. Louis. I applied to graduate school because my roommate in St. Louis was doing it, and I was like a punk kid living in my own filth. Was like, oh shit, like this is going to be the rest of my life because this guy's leaving, so maybe I should do it too, I guess. So I applied to a couple schools, and then I went to Northwestern here in Chicago. They liked this play I wrote called Gun Club, and then I went there, and I like learned some stuff there, but I spent most of the time resisting what they were telling me because there was like a lot of stuff about like spec scripts and stuff like that. But I did learn about like final draft because it'll format your screenplay for you. Also got really, really serious about making films and watching films. I'd always really wanted to do it, but then I made like my first short using like the cage they had. They sort of like started this whole thing. I think the when I really got into these devices that you're talking about and like learning storytelling was just when I was trying to like deconstruct a lot of movies that felt really like honest and true and be like figure out how the alchemy behind them worked, not just like on a script level, but then also like in like a scene, like how do you get to this thing that feels so vital and active, but then also like so specific to this story, like all those movies that I was talking to you about and others, like just trying to like get to the bottom of them. And then kind of throwing that all away because once you're on set shooting something, it becomes all everything is basically gone. You have to just make it up as you go.
I always wanted to go to film school, never did. Let my friends talk me out of it. Something I look back on and I'm like, fuck, what would my life have been like had I done that? Did schooling help you? Are you happy you did it? Do you kind of wish you had said fuck that and gone ahead and just made films on your own?
I think, I don't know. It's like a huge... It's really complicated because most of the stuff that I've learned has been from like practice doing it, but also like, you know, I think it's really silly when you hear like a famous guy be like, just pick up your phone and go out with your friends. Like, it's like, no, it's actually pretty great to have the opportunity to dedicate like a shitload of time and focus and, you know, like your entire, you know, all of your hours of the day on learning movies. Like, that's amazing. Like, what a cool opportunity. So I'd say like if you can do it, like absolutely, like it's fuck school, rock and roll, but also like you can do that while you're there. I don't know, why not? You know, most of the people teaching there are people who have like paved their own way. They don't want to be boring either, especially at like that kind of, at a place like, you know, Northwestern or anywhere else that you can, you know, any fancy place you can get into. Like that's definitely a great opportunity. Yeah.
I got a job working for a film festival here in the Bay Area. It opened up my eyes to this community of people. And one of the things I think that would have been great for me is finding that community in film school. Instead, I just, you know, did the punk rock thing, slept on couches and floors with a lot of just negative people who were like, oh, that'll never work. That'll never work. And anyway, I that's just a ramble about my own personal life. Also,
no, there's definitely, I mean, that definitely happens, especially in like a school like this, you know, like my the structure for these ideas that I'm for this film, like there was like a long journey to land there. There is like a lot of people that are going to be like, will that, is there an audience for that, will that sell, you know? And I think that that's why I always look at like older films or like other American independents, because it seems like these indie films are labors of love made with a specific voice, you know, and it's not like concocted in a boardroom, and it's not to like necessarily sell stuff. It's like, this is just instead like really vital to the person making it. And so it feels like it means something, and you can hear the voice coming through. I think that's like an important thing to hold on to. And it's like, definitely you can hear, there are negative voices, you know, throughout, always, it seems like. Finding your strength and finding your community, like there's the people here, but then also like finding your reference points, you know, the artistically, like who are the people that sound like you or look like you, or at least sound like your cousin or something, you know? And like, you know, your friend could be a DVD, you know?
What's it like putting so much weird energy out there and finding that overall the reviews I've read have for the most part been good? I mean, obviously you probably don't expect them all to be good, especially with something like this. But what is it like to just have, you know, put all yourself, these weird ideas out there and have them connect? That's got to be a pretty great feeling, at least in that aspect.
Yeah, I mean, so it's kind of surprising, and like you're saying, what the hell, like what, how is there an audience for this? That sort of thing. I don't know. It warms my heart, and then also like confuses me, because now I'm like, okay, to make this film, like I will go to hell and back to get this done. You know, and at a certain point, like putting on a sort of my blinders and like a helmet, you know, and then to like come out and everyone's like, yay, like everyone's like happy about it. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, let's just do it. Let's do it again. Let's keep going. So I don't know. I'm just like insanely excited and hyped on it. I think it's cool. It's like, didn't expect any of it to happen. Honestly, every step of this, I would never have expected to be talking to you. So it feels great.
It does feel great. Thank you. And again, thank you for talking to me, because I treat these more like conversations, because this is a lot of stuff I sit up late at night thinking about, that my girlfriend is really tired of hearing me talk about storytelling ideas. So thank you for giving me a place to vent that. So when you do get these negative reviews,
what negative reviews are you talking about?
What goes through your mind when you're seeing these?
Oh,
does it validate some of the stuff that you had felt inside, some of your own self-doubt, or are you just like, this isn't for you, you didn't get it, hell yes, I win, maybe, I don't know.
It could be either one of those. I mean, like, it depends on the day also. There's like, and there's some reviews that are completely validating. Like there was one that was like, this is morally repugnant and like artistically bankrupt or something like that. And it was, or something like artistically deficient, you know? And I'm like, yeah, fuck you, that's great. This is like literally the exact, this is just the person that I would not, you know, I don't know. This is the person that I want to upset, you know?
Yeah. And also put that on the poster, because that makes me want to watch it even more now.
Yeah. Yeah. But then there's other things, you know, like I am human, but I also don't really, it doesn't really, I don't know. I've never really listened to that much feedback anyways. So it doesn't really matter. The movie is like so much bigger and then any individual review, so I kind of don't, even the good ones, I'm not kind of like, it's not like that's going to change much for me.
That's great. I hope to get there myself one day. What you've made, you know, it's so weird, it's so out there, but it works. Like your voice does come through. It's just such a cool little film that I can't wait to discuss and show people in many years to come. I think it's a cult classic waiting to happen, and I hope you don't take the bad reviews too seriously, because I think that's a sign that you succeeded those bad reviews. So now I gotta think of a question to get out of that ramble, but oh, you know what, I got this right here. I was watching your pitch video asking for money. You're walking around a PetSmart, you're buying worms, and one thing that jumped out at me, and maybe that was something that like I connected on another level, is you spoke a little bit about being bipolar. I myself have my own chemical depression issues, and it really does get in my way a lot. Sometimes I can't believe in myself enough to get up off the couch and work on some of my projects. As somebody that has bipolar disorder, how do you navigate making a movie? How do you make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Did I say I was bipolar? That doesn't even seem right. I'm not. I'm like,
it said something along the lines of like I had a bipolar breakdown or something like that. So
So like when I made that movie or made that little video, I like had basically been freshly like let out of the loony bin. So like, and the diagnosis for me is like out, I would say. Like I'm not sure what's wrong with my head. So I wouldn't want to take any bipolar cred. Basically, it's just sort of like, I don't know. I don't like using mental illness as like a selling point for the movie. Cause I kind of like the, that, you know, the rest of the movie is so much more, is more vital and more important to it. But I also like, as part of like your question was like, what's it like having mental illness and making art is kind of the question.
Yeah, and more to the point, I guess it's more like, how does somebody else out there who might be listening to this, who has those issues, do you, I guess a better way of phrasing it is, do you have any advice? Do you have any tricks that help you navigate making this while also maybe having something off? Because I have something off, and I want to find out some tips and tricks from you if you have any on how I can help use these things.
Well, I would say, like, the number one thing would be to, like, get healthy. That's like the first thing before trying to embark on like any sort of collaborative art form, you know, because like this sort of thing is complicated, not just for you, but for everybody else involved in your life. And I'm really lucky, like I said, like I have this great community of people to help me make this movie, but also those are people that I also count on to get me out of a dark place. So number one thing would be to make sure that you're okay and that you can dedicate that much time and energy to something external, you know, something that's outside of yourself and your illness. It was funny making the movie. There was and making that pitch video. Then there was like a couple instances where people were like, can you make a movie if you are ill? And I think that that's definitely, I think, the motivating factor for a lot of art. And I think, you know, sort of having a neurodivergent brain or something, you know, like. That's just one of the main things of making something. So I think own that and know that that's like part of the history of human experience. Yeah. And just be honest with yourself and the people around you, I think, is also the way to approach it.
That's killer. All really great advice, stuff that I need to keep a little bit more at heart. It is a bit of a drug movie. I learned in the last couple of years that I really enjoy marijuana. Like it makes me such a calmer, cooler individual. And watching this movie very, very stoned was a hell of a trip. Like, that only added to it. Do you have a preferred way that should people go into this cold? Should people maybe, you know, imbibe a little bit before the film? That kind of thing. Does that play into the viewing experience?
I think whatever works for you works for me. That's kind of my approach to the whole thing. I've gotten some reviews are seeing the film as like anti-drug. You're like, don't do worms, kids. And I think that I personally don't see it like that, because I think the film introduces like a lot of uncertainties and doesn't really give you a like directive at the end of it. It's more, the movie is more about asking questions than it is about like telling you what's right and wrong. And I think that is pretty clear, just like tonally, like even when it's funny and scary at the same time. So yeah, I mean, if you want to smoke weed before watching it, totally do it. I personally don't, because of previously mentioned brain troubles, but if that's your jam, go for it. I think whatever gets you into the theater to watch this movie, that's also my favorite way for you to watch it.
That's cool. Yeah. Thanks for indulging me on that thrown together last minute half idea question there. Well, yeah. I think we're at a good spot to start wrapping this up. All Jacked Up and Full of Worms. It's hitting a Scream Box, the new relatively new horror streaming service powered by the website Bloody Disgusting. How did you get involved with those guys? How did they pick up this film?
One of my producers, Spencer Parsons, sort of sent it off to this feller, Aaron Hillis, as a like, just to like see if he was interested in it for Kookaloris, because he's one of the programmers there. I think he had just started at Cinedigm, and he was like, oh shit. And he showed it to the team at Screenbox. They loved it. So it was, you know, like pretty nice, pretty easy, honestly. Like, it was like, I think the getting into Fantasia for the world premiere was like the kind of opened up the gates for this movie, and yeah, started all these conversations. So yeah, it's I feel pretty lucky, and I'm excited with what they're doing with the movie, and having a distributor is awesome.
Is there going to be a DVD release or anything like that?
I was just hitting them up about this, giving them a hard time. So they, from what their response seems like, yes. I don't know where or when, but I think so.
I'd love personally to see a Vinegar Syndrome you know, deluxe edition box set. I mean, that's my wish for, you know, the Vinegar Syndrome. Let's make this happen. I'll send them this.
Yeah. That'd be so cool. Yeah.
Is there a lot of stuff maybe to go into this as like extras stuff that, cause I really want to know more and more and more and more and more about just the making of the film. I really am looking forward to hopefully behind the scenes stuff. Is that available? Is that going to be out there? Maybe hopefully.
We definitely took a bunch of our BTS wasn't like some productions have like a camera crew going around. We didn't really have that. We had like what Georgia did was she handed out disposable film cameras, you know, to like basically every member of the crew and was like, hey, like take pictures when you got time. So we have a bunch of developed disposable camera shots just of us like at like the worst motel you've ever seen. And, yeah, you know, or in the middle of the street with a worm puppet. So yeah, there's some fun stuff there, but there's no video.
And some of that's already on your Instagram page too.
Oh yeah. Worms for Worms. Yeah. Go there. You'll see some cool stuff. And then, part of our fundraising attempts, there's Ben who did the effects. He and I are like snorting like worms in an alleyway, you know, some good fun.
Yeah. Were you actually snorting those worms? Like real live worms you were snorting?
Yeah. I mean, that's what every worm in the film is a real worm. Yeah.
That is wild. Yeah. I don't know if I could. I don't think I could do that. How do you get yourself ready to snort a worm?
You just start. You just give yourself a mantra. You know, like you just chant to yourself. Really, get revved up.
All right. Alex, I think we've taken enough of your time today. Is there anything else we need to mention?
Well, so the movie will be streaming on Screenbox November 8th. You can also catch it in theaters. We have like a limited theatrical run going on at the Alamo Draft House in LA. We've got three screenings. Was it the 8th and the 9th? We sold out the 7th, I think. And we've got two more now. And then we're in Oakland at the New Parkway. We're in Birmingham at the Sidewalk Theater screening room. We're kind of all over the place. So check our website, wormsmovie.com, and you'll see where you can watch it in theaters. We'll be at the Music Box also in Chicago on tomorrow at like 11:15 p.m.
Cool. How many of these are you personally getting to attend?
I'm trying to go to as many as possible to like intro it, but obviously I can't be at all of them. So
yeah.
But we've said which ones I'm going to be.
Yeah,
Q&A.
It's on the website.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Alex, I thank you so much for joining me today and being like my helping me wake up with the day. Thanks for I feel like I've seen your penis. I feel like I intimately know you now. I highly recommend Who's a Good Boy Now. It's a great way to start your day, a great way to wake up. A really sick and twisted little short film as well, all jacked up and full of worms. I can't wait to see what it does. I think this is like a start to something real cool. So congratulations to you on all your hard work, and man, I think it's paid off.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much. Thanks for giving me the platform also.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for joining me. I'm never really very good at ending these things. So I don't know. We'll just trail off into the sunset right now, I guess.
Yeah. Worms are love. Worms for life.